Hey everybody, welcome back to the Clean Slate Podcast. I'm your host, Carson Phillips, here with the freshly showered Daniel Garza.
Thank you. I actually haven't showered in 3 days.
Nope. Me neither, actually. You guys can smell us through your headphones. So, speaking of smell, we're going to be talking about a pretty smelly movie.
Will you stop? All this out. Okay, good. Guys, we are in the middle of our Halloween marathon. 31 days of Halloween.
Woo! We've watched so many movies.
We have 11 left, not including this one. Well, including this one.
Well, and maybe some other special something, maybe for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Do we want to make that announcement?
We're not revealing anything. No, let's just sow the seeds. Santa's coming, baby.
Santa's coming tonight. Santa's coming tonight.
Stop.
It's from SpongeBob.
All right, guys. Daniel and I, we've spent some time in the woods.
Yep.
And he's going to read a little log line here.
Three film students vanish after traveling into a Maryland forest to film a documentary on the local Blair Witch legend, leaving only their footage behind.
Wow. It's almost, did somebody find the footage?
Yeah, that's what it says at the beginning of the movie. Remember? It says that...
I'm making a joke.
Wait, what? What did you say?
Found footage.
Oh my God, you're stupid.
Get it?
Yes.
You get it?
Yes, I get it. Because
they found the footage. Yeah, so we're talking about Blair Witch Project.
Oh my God.
This is what?
That's what it means? They found...
Yeah, you're an idiot. Oh no, you have to leave this in. You have to leave this in. Yes, Daniel.
That's... Okay.
Daniel, this is like one of your favorite
genres. My favorite genre, but I never knew found footage.
This is sad.
That makes so much sense, dude. You know what? I'm just exhausted, and it makes sense that I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's so...
You have to leave this in.
I will.
For transparency.
That's crazy. I did not know that. But it makes so much sense. So
you should have seen your face. I wish we were recording the video.
I know.
So we need
to start recording.
So this is like, this isn't the first found footage movie.
Uh-huh.
There was others like Cannibal Holocaust and some other stuff. But this is the first one that was mainstream and the impact of it can be seen today. Maybe a little bit less today, but I think there's even regular horror films that aren't under that found footage genre that still use stuff from this movie. Like they incorporate found footage into like a regular into regular feature films. Like Scott Derrickson did that with Sinister. So this is for sure an influential film, and I think it holds up. I don't know. What are your thoughts? You think it holds up?
Yes. However, the audio was bad.
The
audio didn't hold up, but this gave me so much nostalgia, because if you haven't listened to As Above, So Below, we kind of talk about this with the found footage being our favorite genre, because it's all handheld stuff. It really leaves up to the imagination more so of like...
Your brain tricks you into thinking it could be real.
Exactly. And it was also just fun to do. We have so many fun... So we have so much fun making those found footage
making
things.
Our own.
Yeah, and you know what was funny? One of our listeners, his name's Daniel. He heard you talking about Darkness Descends, and he found it and watched it.
No,
I'm imagining he watched it because he told me, he was like, "This is a cinematic masterpiece." I was like, "Of course it is." So shout out to Daniel.
It's pretty solid.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Solid.
That was our dream that we wanted to make.
If you're wondering where Shaky Cam comes from, it's Blair Witch Project.
Exactly.
Like, this movie will make you nauseous.
So, warning. It gave me nostalgia because, like, you know, I think of... This was one of the movies that got us going on to found footage. That and Cloverfield. And then Marble Hornets.
Oh, yeah, Cloverfield.
So, it just, like, the oldness of the actual footage was nostalgic to me. I was like, this is fun. I miss this...
And this one's pure found footage. Like, there's not, like...
Yeah, like, they didn't
much
even
of
have...
any production value.
No, it was only $60,000 that they spent on this movie.
That's crazy,
and guess
man.
How much they made from it?
like an endless amount, basically.
$248 million they made.
Oh, and they're still technically probably making money.
Yeah, I'm sure it's slowed down a lot, but I'm sure they've got to be making $100,000 a year on it.
Well, they made a recent-ish movie.
Yeah.
So they got to get royalties from that. And then the video game. Yo, the video game.
Is it good?
I recommend it. It's pretty fun. I've played it in VR and on Xbox. It's pretty scary. You have a dog companion, though, so that's kind of fun.
Does the dog die?
Like, without the dog, I don't think I'd be able to handle the game. I'm not going to say.
Okay.
But the dog is with you. He's, like, a main character.
Yeah. But this, I mean, this movie's good. It's sometimes a little bit laughable because you just think of the ridiculousness of Heather, who is the main girl. She, like...
Yeah.
I mean, it seems...
This always happens in found footage, though. Like, why are you still recording? Why are you
streaming? Yeah, or like, why are we still doing this when it's clearly not a good idea? Why are you being so shady about...
Well, you have that super iconic moment where she kind of confesses into the camera and it's like way up on her face. It's cheesy. It was cheesy on this rewatch for me. But at the same time, it's just so iconic that it was hard for me to actually judge it. Like, maybe I have rose-colored glasses in some ways, but I will acknowledge it's not, like, the best movie ever. Right. But it really did what it was trying to do. I don't think they knew, really, how successful this was going to be either. They're like, oh, it's kind of fun. We can pretend it's real.
Yeah.
You don't need actors.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things that went on in this movie that, you know, in research we can... It's just always fun to find out, like, behind the scenes type stuff. You remember the tent scene where, like, all of a sudden the tent just starts shaking?
Okay, you know what that reminds me of?
What?
Finish your thought and I'll tell. I have a story. I don't know if it's worth sharing. But...
Okay. And so the tent starts shaking, but that's technically, that was the director shaking the tent. And he tell the actors that he was going to do that. So they're like,
no.
So their reactions of that is so genuine because they're freaking out the entire time.
It's a good
time.
Scene, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a really intense scene. Okay, so what's your story?
So I got two tent stories. They both involve Daniel. I have three tent stories that involve Daniel. Okay. Which one should I tell? There will be another opportunity for more tent stories, but
I was gonna say, just tell the best one.
The one involving shaking. Remember, so it was me, you, and your cousin Gabe.
Yeah, I knew Gabe was.
We were camping in my backyard, and we were. I don't know why we were doing that. We thought it'd be fun. It was cold as heck.
It's
because
we
like super dewy.
Forts, remember?
So we built a tent.
Yeah, a tent in the backyard was the ultimate fort.
I don't even remember owning a tent. Like, I don't know where this tent came from.
It was honestly probably mine. But
we were making, like, food, like, MRE-style food. You remember it was, like, a pasta that cooked itself?
It was,
really cool.
Beef stroganoff, that's
what
it was.
It was nasty. It was pretty nasty. But we all three ate it. We were like, yeah, we're living it rough. But I remember it was really late. Might have been, like, 2 a.m. kind of thing, and we were just... having a blast, trying to go to sleep, though. We were, like, ready. Mm-hmm. We were getting a little freaked out. And I remember we're like, why is the tent shaking? Do you remember this? The tent started shaking, and we were like, what is happening?
Vaguely.
And we were just like, oh, let's just gather in a corner, and we just slept through the night. Uh-huh. And it turns out our neighbors had, like, three huskies.
Yeah, okay. That's
and they came onto our property, and they, like, were, like, messing with the tent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we didn't know that it was like 3 or 4 a.m.
No, we just ignored it.
Yeah.
Like, we were terrified and didn't say anything to anybody.
And then, but
it could have been coyotes.
Yeah, because that's what we thought it was. We thought it was coyotes. So we were like trying to just stay still because we didn't want to get eaten alive. But I remember because we heard shouting during that night too, and we were freaking out.
It was the neighbor.
It was the neighbor trying to get
his dogs. They saw the dogs attacking our tent at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, that was probably my most memorable camping time is with you in your backyard.
In the backyard. Anyways, back to Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, that was our Blair Witch stories of camping.
I should say, in revisiting this, I did a little bit of research, and I came across some of the marketing materials for Blair Witch.
Okay.
And it's as good as the movie. They made, like, these little documentaries about the Blair Witch, like, mythology that were set in universe. So they're like, oh, these kids went missing. Here's a documentary about the thing they were researching.
Yeah.
And so it sets it up to when you do watch the movie, you're like, this is real. Like, this is 100% happening. Like, this happened to these kids. And so there's all this, like, in-universe, like, connective tissue that kind of ties back into the movie. So all the marketing was just, like, focused on convincing people, like, this was real. You couldn't do this now either. Like, nobody would fall for this.
But
people fell for it, I think.
Yeah, dude. This thing just has, like, so many... I think what you can appreciate about a movie like this is that you do a lot of things, right? Because especially if you're hiring non-actors, you want them... You need to do what you can as a director, especially to get them to be the best actor they can be.
To be scared.
Yeah, to be scared, to, you know... fear for their life and, you know, lost in the forest.
And well, I don't think they had, like, lines or anything either. So that's all improv.
Yeah, there's a couple of instances where, like, you hear about the director and the crew. They would feed the actors less and less food as the days went on for shooting. So the shooting only took about 8 months.
That's kind of wrong.
But they would feed them less food as the days went on to help drive their craziness because of they wanted to
keep the budget low.
Yeah, I'm sure it was too. Secondly, the part where she's like running and she's like, oh my God, what is that? What was that? You know, and like, what the F is that? And she's freaking out.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently there was actually supposed to be a Blair Witch reveal. The cameraman was supposed to pan to show a woman in a white dress, but the cameraman apparently forgot and they couldn't reshoot that scene again. So they just had to move on. And yeah, and does it bother
you
that there's...
see the witch much.
You don't. You don't see it at all.
Like, do you even see it at the end? I don't think so, huh?
No, you just see...
And that makes it scarier.
Right, you see, like, the things of the witch. Like, right... I mean, some of these things were weird. Like, the twigged-up sticks.
I like that. I mean, I think the twig sticks is so recognizable.
Of course. But then, like, the pile of rocks by the tent... It was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, that means nothing. Because I literally see the pile of rock things all the time.
Yeah, really.
Like that's just like a hippie thing to do or like a fun thing to do.
But I... Yeah, so, I mean, the slime thing was kind of weird and different. You know, the guy who dies. I mean, they all die. But the first guy who... I think it's Josh. Josh is the first one. Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of cool because, like, they do all this speculation. You see them progressively getting more and more, like, scared and more desperate to get out. And so they start their, like, levels of anger and anxiousness is just rising so much.
They turn on each other really quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Which is something you see in a lot of found footage films. But Blair Witch, you know, they kind of did that first and they do it in a way that feels realistic, like method behind the madness there. Mm-hmm. It works really well.
As I was like rewatching this, I think they really build the story well and the world well of like, I mean, it's simple, like, you know, college student wants to make this documentary about a legend. They go into town and they like find all these people to tell all these stories. You know, and we've made something like this shot for shot, really.
Well, you know what's funny though? Two is on, there's this show I've been watching called Hellier on Amazon Prime. I recommend it, but that's like an actual paranormal investigation thing or like ghost adventures. Like they're actually trying to investigate, but nothing happens. This has the same setup as these quote real shows. And so I don't know. I think that sells it to me.
Yeah, right. And I think that
it's believable.
Yeah, and the fact that you hear about all these crazy, like, everybody has their own experience with the witch or has heard of a different experience with the witch, like, it really kind of helps you let your mind wander and be like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, what if the witch does this or what if the witch does that? I think that's why it builds it so successfully of being like...
Well, because what's in your head is scarier.
Exactly.
Than what they could ever put on film.
That's what takes, like, a good horror movie is being able to activate something in the viewer's head.
There's another film we watched recently that we're going to be talking about that does this well, I believe.
Are we thinking of the same thing? Let's say it on three. One, two, three.
Lights out. Aww. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's key to horror, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's letting the imagination run wild.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's good because it's nostalgic for me. Of being like, this is why, honestly, this is what kind of catapulted us to go into this kind of industry of like filmmaking and it really is. It's our villain origin story. So I don't know. I have a lot of love for this movie. Rewatching, it's kind of like, it's not that great anymore, but it's still like, you got to honor.
It's a fun watch.
Yeah, you got to honor a classic, like, or not even a classic, but you got to honor a legend of a film, which was The Blair Witch. Yeah. And I think it's a legendary film.
I think if you've seen this before and it's been a while, maybe give it a rewatch. It'd be fun. Watch it with a big group, though. Some of my best experiences watching this movie has been with friends. Like my freshman year, I made a bunch of guys watch it, and they were like, why are we watching this? But it was a fun time all together.
Yeah.
And if you've never seen this, go watch it. I think most of you that are into horror, you need to watch this.
Yeah.
And it's not gory or really over the top in any way, so you should be okay. I think you'd have a good time.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. That is the review for The Blair Witch Project. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. And if this is your first podcast listening to us, then go check out our other ones. We got about 19 more episodes before this one. And there's going to be 10 more for this month. So, you know, press that follow button. Go ahead and give us some 5 stars and write a little cool review if you want, because we'd really appreciate it. Yes. It would help us out tremendously. And, you know, we want to keep doing this. And we have tons and tons of ways to support this podcast if you want to. And one of our actual listeners has started supporting us, and we really appreciate it. Carson, you want to go ahead and tell that?
Yeah, one of my good friends from high school, Jack Talley, he's pledged $5 a month.
Wow, nice. Okay. And
we're going to try to come up with some perks for you guys that do feel inclined to donate.
Yep.
But you can do that by going to the description of the episode or of the overall podcast, and there'll be a little link. It'll take you to Anchor, and from there you can do like $1 a month or 5 or more. But eventually we will have some perks for you guys, like bonus episodes, and you give us some ideas. Actually, we're open.
Feel free to do it, but also do not feel obligated, because we love just having you here anyway. But you know, in order to keep this engine going, we need some support. So
we need some engine grease.
Exactly. Thanks for stopping by. We have another podcast coming out tomorrow, and we will post that on our Instagram. So go follow our Instagram, and we will see you in the next one.
That's a clean slate.